Chapter 18 Lucy Sam had seemed glad to see Chi.
"I think they're going to be climbing up Tse Bitai again," she told Chi. "I saw a big car drive down the road toward Hosteen Mary Boy's place 2 days ago, and it stayed a long time, and when I saw it coming back from there, I drove over there to see how he was doing, and he told me about it."
"I heard about it, too," Chi said, thinking how hard it was to keep secrets in empty country.
"The man paid Hosteen Mary Boy $100, she said, and shook her head. "I don't think we should let them climb up there, even for $1,000.
"I don't think so, either," Chi said.
"They have plenty of their own mountains to play around on." "The one who lived here before," Lucy Sam said, using the Navajo circumlocution to avoid saying the name of the dead, "he'd say that it would be like us Navajos climbing all over that big church in Rome, or getting up on top of the Wailing Wall, or crawling all over that place where the Islamic prophet went up to heaven."
"It's disrespectful," Chi agreed, and with that subject out of the way, he shifted the conversation to cattle theft. Had Hosteen Mary Boy mentioned to her that he'd lost some more cattle?
He had, and he was angry about it. There would have been enough money in those cows to make the last payments on his pickup truck.
Had Ms. Sam seen anything suspicious since the last time he'd been here? She didn't think so. Could he look at the ledger where she kept her notes? Certainly she would get it for him. Lucy Sam extracted the book from its desk drawer and handed it to Chi.
"I kept it just the same way," she said, tapping the page. "I put down the date and the time right here at the edge, and then I write down what I see."
As he leafed backward through the ledger, Chi saw that Lucy Sam wrote down a lot more than that. She made a sort of daily journal out of it, much as her father had done. And she had not just copied her father's system, she also followed his Franciscan Padre's writing style, small, neat lettering in small, neat lines, which had become sort of a trademark of generations of those Navajos educated at St. Michael's School west of Window Rock. It was easily legible and wasted neither paper nor ink. But, readable or not, she found nothing in it very helpful. He skipped back to the date when he and Officer Manuelito had visited the site of the loose fence posts. They had rated an entry right after Lucy Sam's notation that Yazi came, said he would bring some firewood. And just before, turkey buzzards are back. Between those, Lucy had written, "Police car stuck on road under Tse Bitai, truck driver helps." Then down the page a bit, "Tow truck gets police car." The last entry before the tow truck note reported, "That camper truck stopped. Driver looked around." That camper truck? Chi felt his face flush with remembered embarrassment. That would have been Finch checking to see how thoroughly they had sprung his Zorro trap. He worked his way forward through the pages, learning more about kestrels, migrating grosbeaks, a local family of coyotes, and other Colorado Plateau fauna than he wanted to know. He also gained some insights into Lucy Sam's loneliness, but nothing that he could see would be useful to Acting Lieutenant Chi in his role as rustler hunter. If Zorro had come back to collect a load of Mary Boy's cows from the place he'd left the hay, he'd done it when Lucy Sam wasn't looking. But she was looking quite a lot. There was a mention of a very muddy white pickup towing a horse trailer on the dirt road that skirted Shiprock, but no mention of it stopping. Chi made a mental note to check on that. About a dozen other vehicles had come in view of Lucy Sam's spotting scope, none of them potential rustlers. They included a Federal Express delivery truck, which must have been lost, another mention of Finch's camper truck, and three pickups that she had identified with the names of local area owners. So, what was useful about that? It told him that if Manuelito's network of watchers would pay off at all, it would require patience and probably years to establish suspicious-looking patterns. And it told him that Mr. Finch looked upon him as a competitor in his hunt for the so-called Zorro. Finch wanted him to write off Mary Boy's loose fence post's location, but Finch hadn't written it off himself. He was keeping his eye on the spot. That produced another thought. Mary Boy had been losing cattle before. Had either Lucy, Sam, or her father noticed anything interesting in the past? Specifically, had they ever previously noticed that white truck pulling its horse trailer? He would page back through the book and check on that when he had time. And he would also look through the back pages for school buses. He'd noticed a Lucy Sam mention of a school bus stuck on that same dirt road, and the road wasn't on a bus route. She had also mentioned that camper truck being parked almost all day at the base of the mountain the year before. Her note said, "Climbing our mountain?" She put down the ledger. Lucy Sam had gone out to feed her chickens, and he could see her now in her sheep pen inspecting a young goat that had managed to entangle itself in her fence. He found himself imagining Janet Pete in that role, and himself in Old Man Sam's wheelchair. It didn't scan. The white Porsche roared in and rescued her. But that wasn't fair. He was being racist. He had been thinking like a racist ever since he'd met Janet and fallen in love with her. He had been thinking that because her name was Pete, because her father was Navajo, her blood somehow would have taught her the ways of the Diné and made her one of them. But only your culture taught you values. And the culture that had formed Janet was blue-blooded, white, Ivy League, chic, irreligious, old rich Maryland. And that made it just about as opposite as it could get from the traditional values of his people, which made wealth a symbol for selfishness, and had caused a friend of his to deliberately stop winning rodeo competitions because he was getting unhealthily famous, and therefore out of harmony. Well, to hell with that. He got up, refocused the spotting scope, and found the place where the posts had been loosened. That road probably carried no more than a dozen vehicles a week, none at all when the weather was wet. It was empty today, and there was no sign of anything around Mr. Finch's Zorro trap. Beyond it, in the pasture, he counted 18 cows and calves. Beyond it, in the pasture, he counted 18 cows and calves, a mixture of Herefords and Angus, and 3 horses. He scanned across the Mary Boy grassland to the base of Shiprock and focused on the place where Lucy Sam had told him the climbing parties liked to launch their great adventures. Nothing there now but sage, chamisa, and a red-tailed hawk looking for her lunch. She sat down again and picked up the oldest ledger. On his last visit, he'd checked the entries on the days following Breedlove's disappearance, but only with a casual glance. This time he'd be thorough. Lucy Sam came in, washed her hands, and looked at him while she dried them. "Something wrong?" "Disappointed," she said. "So many details. This'll take forever." "He didn't have anything else to do," Lucy Sam said, voice apologetic. "After he got that sickness with his nerves, all he could do after that was get himself into his wheelchair. He couldn't go any place. He'd just sit there in the chair. And sometimes he would read or listen to the radio. And then he would watch through his telescope and keep his notes." "And he kept them very well," Chi noticed. "Unfortunately, they didn't seem to include what he wanted to find." The date Hal Breedlove vanished came about midpoint in the old ledger. In Hostine Sam's eyes, it had been a windy day, cool crows beginning to gather as they did when summer ended, flying in great disorganized twilight flocks past Shiprock to their roosting places in the San Juan River woods. 3 oil field service trucks came down the road toward Red Rock and turned toward the rattlesnake field. Some high clouds appeared, but there had been no promise of rain. The next day's entry was longer, devoted largely to the antics of 4 yearling coyotes who seemed to be trying to learn how to hunt in the prairie dog town down the slope. Interesting, but not what Chi was hoping for. An hour and dozens of pages later, he closed the ledger, rubbing his eyes and sighed.
"You want some lunch?"
Lucy Sam asked, which was just the question she had been hoping to hear. Lucy had been there at the stove across the kitchen from him, cutting up onions, stirring, answering his questions about abbreviations he couldn't read or points he didn't understand, and the smell of mutton stew had gradually permeated the room and his senses, making this foolish search seem far less important than his hunger.
"Please," he said, "that smells just like the stew my mother used to make."
"Probably is the same," Lucy said. "Everybody has to use the same stuff. Mutton, onions, potatoes, can of tomatoes, salt, pepper." She shrugged. Like his mother's stew, it was delicious. He told Lucy what he was looking for, about the disappearance of Hal Breedlove and then his skeleton turning up on the mountain. He was looking for some idea of when Hal Breedlove returned to make his fatal climb.
"You find anything?"
"I think I learned that the man didn't come right back here after running away from his wife in Canyon de Chelly. At least there was no mention of anybody climbing."
"There would have been," she said. "How far did you get?"
"Just through the first 8 weeks after he disappeared. It's going to take forever."
"You know, they always do it the same way. They start climbing just at dawn, maybe before. That's because they want to get down before dark, and because there's some places where that black rock gets terribly hot when the afternoon sun shines on it. So all you got to do is take a look at the first thing written down each day." He would always do the same every morning. He would get up at dawn and roll his wheelchair to the door. Then he would sing the song to Dawn Boy and bless the morning with his pollen. Next, he would take a look at his mountain. If there was anything parked there where the climbers always left their cars, it would be the first thing he wrote down.
"I'll try that, then," he said. On the page at which Chi reopened the ledger, the first entry was marked 9/15/85, which was several pages and 8 days too early. He glanced at the first line, something about a kestrel catching a meadowlark. He paged forward, checking Lucy's advice by scanning down the first notes after dates. Now he was at 9/18/85, halfway down the page. The first line read, "Climbers. Funny-looking green van where climbers park. Three people going up. If Lucy gets back from Albuquerque, I will get her to go into Shiprock and tell the police." She checked the date again, September 18th, 1985. That would be 5 days before Hal Breedlove disappeared from the Canyon de Chelly. He scanned quickly down the page, looking for other mentions of the climbers. He found two more on the same day. The first said, "They are more than halfway up now, creeping along under a cliff like bugs on a wall." And the second, "The headlights turned on the fancy green car and the inside lights. I see them putting away their gear. Gone now, and the police did not come. I told Mary Boy he should not let anyone climb Sebitai, but he did not listen to me." Lucy was washing dishes in a pan of water on the table by the stove, watching him while she worked. He took the ledger to her, pointed to the entry. "Do you remember this?" she asked. "It would have been about 11 years ago. Three people came to climb Shiprock in some sort of green van. Your father wanted you to go tell the police, but you had gone to Albuquerque." Lucy Sam put on her glasses and read.
"Now why did I take the bus to Albuquerque?" she asked herself. "Yes," she answered. "Irma was having her baby there, little Alice. Now she's 11. And when I came home, he was excited about those climbers and angry. He wanted me to take him to see Hosteen Maryboy about it. And I took him over there, and they argued about it. I remember that."
"Did he say anything about the climbers?"
"He said they were a little bit slow. It was after dark when they got back to the car."
"Anything about the car?"
"The car?"
She looked thoughtful.
"I remember he hadn't seen one like it before. He said it was ugly, clumsy-looking, square like a box. It was green, and it had a ski rack on top."
She closed the ledger and handed it to Lucy, trying to remember how Joe Leaphorn had described the car Hal Breedlove had abandoned after he had abandoned his wife. It was a recreational vehicle, green. Something foreign-made. Yes, a Land Rover. That would fit old man Sam's description of square and ugly.
"Thank you," he said to Lucy Sam. I have to go now and see what Hosteen Maryboy can remember.